Blog Talk Radio.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. And the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and never hope to be, I owe it all to
to the Spirit Alive Network, your global transformation station for this Monday, April 26, 2021. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and this is Leading Leadership the Jesus Way. Tonight, we will be on lesson number 6, but as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you please bow with me as we go to the Lord. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, asking your blessings upon our lesson this evening. Father God, I pray that you would give me teaching power, Lord, from on high, so that I may instruct and equip your servants in a way that will be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray for each and every minister listening on tonight, and I pray that this teaching will bless them, it will strengthen them, and it will encourage their hearts. I pray this and all other things in your son Jesus' name. Amen, and to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Okay, beloved, we are going to start on lesson 6, but before we do, over the past 5 weeks, we have been looking at the calling, acceptance, gifting, and standards of God's called and sent. And once we know that we have been called by God and we have accepted our calling, our focus should become to become and remain vessels of honor for God that will be honored by Him when we meet Him face to face. And for that, we all must have the right heart set and mindset. So tonight we will be looking at the responsibilities of church leaders, because no person should assume the role of leadership in the body of Christ without carefully assessing what is expected of them. You see, we have certain biblical responsibilities placed on us by Scripture. The Word of God says, God will raise up pastors, elders, deacons, ushers, and ministry leaders when we seek Him for the development of leadership in our church. Church leaders should be first and foremost willing to restore a fallen brother. This is our first responsibility. If we are to be a servant leader after God's own heart, then we must be willing to be responsible for the restoration of our fallen brethren. We should have a heart after people who are hurt or hurting, and we should reach out to those who have stumbled or fallen. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So, it is not our job or responsibility to judge one who might have fallen, but it's our responsibility to love them, to encourage them, and to restore them. The second responsibility that every servant leader must know and understand is that we have a responsibility to understand spiritual truths and demonstrate spiritual enlightenment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 reads as follows. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Therefore, we not only need to understand God's spiritual truths, but we must demonstrate them. We must walk in them according to the Holy Spirit. We have to know and understand that if we want people to believe what we say, then they have to be able to see what we believe. All servant leaders are responsible for avoiding divisions and arguments. While it's impossible to keep divisive issues from flowing through the body of Christ, real spiritual leaders refuse to get involved in them and stop division before it even takes root. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 3 reads, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for you were not able to bear it, nor are you now able, for you are yet carnal. For there is among you envying, strife, and division. Are you not carnal and walk as men? So you see, we can't get caught up in the things of this world. We have not been called to get caught up and entangled and embroiled in the problems of the people that we serve. What we have been called to do is to be responsible leaders and to avert division and avert arguments wherever possible. In other words, we need to shut that thing down with the word of God. Hallelujah. We have to let it be known that, you know, if we're of God, then we can't be walking around, you know, being carnal. We can't be going around envying the gifts of other people or what other churches are doing, or, you know, we just cannot, you know, get caught up in that. Because how can we lead others to drink milk, to eat meat, if we're still on milk ourselves? The fourth thing that all servant leaders are responsible for is we must have a positive awareness of the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 15 through 16 reads, "He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17, we see, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We don't have time to be dilly-dallying or being indecisive. We have to redeem our time wisely, and we have to be about our Father's business. We must not procrastinate. We must prioritize. We have to be in the will of God through the Spirit of God. So that means we're going to be spending a lot of time in prayer and just being mindful of what the Spirit has to say. We are also responsible for edifying and encouraging others. A true spiritual leader will have compassion toward the people in the body of Christ. Romans 15, 1 through 3 reads, We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach you fell on me. So what we have to know and understand is we have to show compassion toward the body of Christ. We cannot, you know, look at this with them with this attitude of, well, I've shared the word with you. I've told you the truth. Why can't you live it? No, we are to have compassion. We are to walk with them. We are to encourage them. We are to bear their infirmities until they are strong enough to bear them on their own. Now, does that mean we take them to raise? No, we are not responsible for that. But we are responsible for edifying them, strengthening them, encouraging them, praying with them, sharing God's word with them. And we have to be patient towards those that are in opposition of leadership. That is our responsibility. It's not something that, you know, we do if we want to, but we must be. When people oppose the will of God or the church, instead of getting to do is patiently instruct those that are opposed to the word of God or the will of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 25 reads, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." So you see, we are supposed to, you know, gently, compassionately, teach them, there are a lot of servant leaders that really get upset when people don't take their advice or people don't, you know, think that they're correct in what they're saying. But instead of getting angry, we must, you know, first of all, go to God and make sure that, you know, we are giving the right counsel. Just because we're servant leaders don't mean we get it right all the time, especially if we're not going to God first. Now, we also need, it is our responsibility to be aware of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, you know, one thing about me, and this is one of the things that really bothers me, is because I do have good discernment about these things. And 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." 1 Corinthians 14:37 says, "If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." And then in 1 Corinthians 14:29, it says, "Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge." So what we see here is, what we're seeing here is, if you know, okay, that you have a gift, or you see a gift being manifested, you have to know what that gift is. You have to be able to discern that when people around you, the Lord is gifting them to elevate them into a position of service, or perhaps, you know, you have to know what the gifts are so that you know they're functioning properly. For instance, in corporate worship, if someone stands up and they begin to speak in tongues and there's no interpreter, then we know that the gifts are not functioning properly, because the Word of God declares that when there is corporate worship and tongues are being, and people are speaking in tongues, there shall be an interpreter. Because why would God want us to tell us something in the spirit and we not understand it in the natural? That's only one example. Another example is prophets. We have so many people today that are calling themselves prophets, and they're telling people, you know, and they're giving a lot of these prosperity messages. People that, "Oh, yes, I see a husband in your future, or I see this, or I see that." Well, let me explain something to you. One of the true signs of the evidence of a true prophet is what they say comes to pass. So if you hear someone speaking and they're saying that they're speaking in prophetic and that thing never comes to pass, you have just learned the very valuable lesson that everybody does not have a word. Amen. Another responsibility that we are responsible for as servant leaders is we're to offer spiritual sacrifices in worship. You know, we should be more consumed with worship, praise, and blessing God than anything else in this world. We should not be worried about our nice cars, our clothes, you know, where the church is going to send us for vacation. No. That's, we, as a true servant leader, we are responsible for ushering in praise and worship. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Then Ephesians 5:19 admonishes us, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." So you see, as a true servant leader, our focus, our priority, the one thing that should bring us more joy than anything is praise and worship, blessing God, pointing others to Christ. And for that, we have to have a spiritual mind, as we spoke on last time. See, a true servant leader will not give place to carnal things. They will not give places to unclean thoughts, foolish words, or silly jesting, because that is in direct opposition to the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 5, and 6 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So you see, if you're going to be calling yourself a spiritual leader, I don't care what it is, a deacon, mother of the church, minister, whatever, you must have, again, that spiritual mind. You cannot be thinking of yourself more than you're thinking about the people of God. You can't want everything your way. That's presumptuous pride. And as we all know, God hates pride. He lines up everything that he is and he has against pride. So we cannot be prideful. We can't get in the flesh. We can't manipulate people. We can't guilt people. We can't exploit people. We can't use their love for us to want them to do things for us that we don't deserve. You see, too many servant leaders feel like they were called to sit, that they have earned the entitlement of their position. And that's because they have not taken the responsibility to understand the importance call. You see, there is no greater responsibility than leading God's people. And this is why the Word of God gives such high standards for Christian leadership. These stringent requirements not only strengthen the church, but it strengthens us as leaders. So simply put, when you care for people, you'll be a better leader. You will last longer, and people will endure more under your leadership. But the opposite is also true. If the people of God aren't cared for, when hard times come, and they will, those people will disappear. So you have to care, really care for the people that God places in your path. And they'll care for you. And then you have to know that you're responsible for coaching folks. I say, you know, some call it coaching. I call it being God's cheerleader. And coaching is a gentle nudge, you know, for folks to get back on track. You know, sometimes you might have to take somebody aside and have a conversation that will help them to see things from a better or different perspective. You know, and when we do this, we help people get better every day. You know, when I, as a servant leader, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about the members of the ministry. There's not a day that I don't go, that goes by that I don't think, what can I do to make them better? What can I do to help them to become all that they can be for God? What can I do to make them more effective for the kingdom? And then as the Holy Spirit speaks, I put what he says into action. Having said that about coaching, there are times when we're going to have to correct. And there are times when we have to occasionally correct leaders in our care. Correction goes beyond this earlier concept of coaching. See, this is more of a firm conversation or confrontation to make a change. And I need for you to know that correction is part of our job description. Now, do we relish it? No. You know, we want folks to get it and get it right and do well. But it is a part of our job description. And I'm going to tell you that if you want the respect of other servant leaders and of God's people, you will always, always correct in private and praise in public. You never, ever call someone on the carpet in front of a group of people. Ever. You never humiliate someone. Even if what you are saying is correct, to remember, even correction must be given in love. And then we need to challenge people. We need to challenge each other. As leaders, we need to challenge the people of God. You know, I believe for me, now I don't know about everybody, but for me, I personally believe that everyone that God has sent to Spirit Alive, they are leaders, they are called, but I challenge them. I challenge them to do more, to be more. You know, if you're an evangelist, I expect you to preach. If you're a teacher, I expect you to teach. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to make sure that you are on point. Because, see, real great leaders, we're smart. We know how to surround ourselves with other great leaders. That gives us all a chance to demonstrate how great God is. Now, if you're intimidated by good leadership, then you're going to continually limit them just to pacify your own insecurities. And you as a servant leader, and as God sends people for you to nurture and to coach, then you have to set them free. You do what God has called them to do. Put your foot on their neck, trying to hold them back. You need to go to God to fix you because you missed a step in that process somewhere. And then we have to learn to be great communicators. We should communicate with everyone what's going on. I'm a firm believer is when I talk to the people in this ministry, I talk to them at the same time usually. But I tell them all the same thing. No one is ever going to be made to feel like they're being left out of the loop. Because that way, if I tell everyone the same thing at the same time, then no one can say, well, Bishop Cook told me this. And another say, well, now she told me this. No, I'm going to communicate clearly, precisely, and I'm going to communicate the same to each and every servant leader of the Spirit Alive Ministries. And when you start dealing with your own people, you have to do that too. Now, we have to be champions of our own ministries, okay? Nobody is going to care about the work that God has given you to do more than you. Okay, because I'm just here to tell you, people say, well, I've been called to preach. Well, okay. Well, if a minister doesn't come to ministerial training, or if they don't make sure that they're getting the assessments done that they need so they can go to the Lord and know that they've been called, I'm not going to make them. See, if they don't care about their ministry, I'm not either. See, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And you have to be the same way. If everybody leaves Spirit Alive tomorrow, I would say bye. Because, see, the Lord gave Spirit Alive to me to deal with, not them. So I'm going to champion my ministries, whether it be Spirit Alive, whether it be No Bounds, whether it be the Gap Ministry, whether it be Love Connection Ministries, all the ministries that I cover, I am going to champion those ministries. And we have to learn how to be good captains, okay? We have the biggest thing that a servant leader needs to be is a good captain. We don't need charismatic people. We don't very necessarily need articulate and flamboyant people. What we need are servant leaders that will be in charge. And you, if God is giving you a ministry, then you have to be the captain of the ship. You cannot just, you know, I guess I'm going to keep on, I guess I'm going to keep it up. Or suppose somebody told you or didn't the first time somebody disagreed with you about your ministry and you just said, oh, well, maybe I wasn't called to do that. You know? So you have to be a champion of your own ministry. You have to be able to say, this is what God has told me to do. I'm going to do it his way, and because I'm doing it for his glory. We're not doing it for anybody else but God. So we're going to do it his way. Hallelujah. And we're going to just trust and believe that he will bring it all to pass for us. Hallelujah. So we also, servant leaders, every servant leader must be responsible for making sure that we are creating an atmosphere where the gospel can be carried out, can be shared. We have to be responsible for letting, we have to be responsible for making sure that, you know, our young people understand what we're preaching and teaching. Our young adults understand, our baby boomers understand, and our elders understand. We have to create an atmosphere where love abounds and where the gospel can go forth and where conversations can be had about Jesus. We have to set an atmosphere where prayers can go forth so that people may recover. We have to set an atmosphere where all things concerning God can be glorified. And then saying to God, if you are called servant leader, you are responsible to the hilt for modeling everything that God has said. Now, am I saying we're going to be perfect? Oh, no. Mm-mm. We'll never be perfect, but praise God, we're being perfected. But you must model God's principles. You must model God's principles no matter what is going on in your personal life. People often say to me, Bishop Cook, we didn't know that you didn't have any income for a year. You know, you didn't say a word. Oh, yeah, I said a whole bunch of words. I just said them to God because, see, what's going on in my personal life has nothing to do with what God has commanded me to do for his people. If I can't pay my rent or my mortgage, I don't turn around and take up another collection from the church. If my car note is due, I cannot turn around and expect the church to pay my car note. I am responsible for my bills. So I have to model what God says. I can't change in the middle of a stream because my circumstances change. No matter what I may be feeling, what you may be feeling as a servant leader, you have to set that aside so that you can be active and available to the person of God standing in front of you that needs your help. How can you edify someone, uplift someone, encourage someone if you down, disgusted, and discourage yourself? How is that modeling the victory of God? You know, I've had some bouts with illness, and people have said, oh, we didn't even know you were sick. Well, praise God, because you sure don't have to look like what you're going through. you know. So we have to be prepared and be know that we're responsible because people are watching us. And we should be always have a positive attitude about all, you know, no, we're, you know, things are going to bother us. Things are going to work our last nerves. But in spite of all of that, we have to model what God has said. So those are our true responsibilities because, beloved, you know, people will try to have a servant leader be everything except what God called us to be. They want us to be responsible for their choirs and for their ball teams and for their different things. They want us to be, you know, a psychologist and a psychiatrist, and they want us to be wear all of these different hats. But I tell you tonight that we have been called to do one thing, and that is to share the gospel in a way that the people of God may be edified. Glory to God. So this, I'm going to stop here for this evening. And if there are any comments or questions at this time, if you would kindly press your 1, I will take your comments or your questions. I just want to thank God for all of the ministers that are here. Minister Tina is here, and I see Minister Kathy is here. So I praise God for the ministers here, and I thank God for all of you. So if there be no comments or questions, we will close for this evening, and I will see you back next week when we begin in earnest about, we will be talking about how to pray and different responsibilities that you pulpit duties. So this week we talked about what we are responsible for. Next week we will be talking about our duties. So I just praise God for all of you. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook for Leadership the Jesus Way, and tonight we talked about responsibilities. I pray that you continue to have a beautiful, a blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you. Amen.